Today's episode of the Growing Readers podcast is presented in partnership with author Virginia Shaw Genthner. Stay tuned for our mid-show book spotlight, where we'll shine a light on her book, Jellybean Finds a Family, a true story that follows Jellybean the horse as he leaves Europe to come to the United States looking for a family. But first, here's a snippet from today's guest author and illustrator, Remy Lai.
Sometimes in kids' books, parents are conveniently killed off so that the child characters can go on adventures. But I also know, because I lost my dad when I was in high school, books that deal with grief are important to me, but I especially like those that deal with it in a more hopeful way, I would say, with dealing with grief in that you will be fine and it does get a little easier, I would say. You will still miss the ones that you lost, but you will be fine. So that, I think, is an important message, I think, for kid readers to see.
Hey, everyone. I'm Bianca Schultz from the Children's Book Review, and this is the Growing Readers Podcast. Today's guest, Remy Lai, is one of my favorite children's book writers and illustrators because of the way she makes her reader feel things. She's on the show to talk about her latest graphic novel, Ghost Book, which is a story that is not only spooky, but is also full of heart. Remy Lai studied fine arts with a major in painting and drawing. She was born in Indonesia, grew up in Singapore, and currently lives in Brisbane, Australia, where she writes and draws stories for kids with her two dogs by her side. She is the author of the critically acclaimed Pie in the Sky, Fly on the Wall, and Porcaso. Before I share our conversation, here's the synopsis for the graphic novel, Ghost Book. Perfect for fans of Spirited Away, Coco, and Ghosts, comes a contemporary fantasy graphic novel about a girl who can see ghosts and befriends a boy who is stuck between the worlds of the living and the dead. An instant classic from the award-winning creator of Pie in the Sky. 12 years ago, the boy and the girl lived, but one was supposed to die. July Chen sees ghosts, but her dad insists ghosts aren't real, so she pretends they don't exist, which is incredibly difficult now it's Hungry Ghost Month, when the gates of the underworld open and dangerous ghosts run amok in the living world. When July saves a boy ghost from being devoured by a hungry ghost, he becomes her first ever friend. Except, William is not a ghost. He's a wandering soul wavering between life and death. As the new friends embark on an adventure to return William to his body, they unearth a ghastly truth. For William to live, July must die. Inspired by Chinese mythology, this dark yet resoundingly hopeful tale about friendship, sacrifice, and the unseen world of ghosts is a dazzling heir to beloved Studio Ghibli classics.
Hi, Bianca. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. And I am really excited because I love that you're joining from my home country of Australia today. It's currently spring here in Colorado in the United States, but I know that it's autumn there. So I am really curious about what the weather is doing for you today.
Well, I'm in Brisbane, so we're it's cold today, but probably not cold compared to Colorado.
I am so thrilled to have you on the show today because I fell in love with your writing and artwork when I read Pie in the Sky, which I found to be funny and touching and heartbreaking, but also an uplifting exploration of what it means to be an outsider. And it also explores grief. And I would use all those same ways to describe your latest book, Ghost Book. Since your writing tends to have these common threads, I would love to begin with having you tell us what drives you and guides you in creating books for children.
Well, for me, the reason that I create books for children is an entirely selfish reason. I just like to imagine stories. That is one of the things that I really love to do. I mean, since I was a kid, I have four siblings, so my house when I was a kid was always really noisy and busy. But I always remember I would take myself out of that busyness and just go to another corner of the house and read or draw something like that. So I've always really liked doing it. And when I think about the books that I'm creating now, it's not only the books that I enjoy creating, but also I think about the books that I loved to read when I was a kid. And I thought that maybe it would be really cool if, another kid reads one of my books and get that same kind of feeling.
Well, there's a common saying in the writer's world that to be a writer, you need to be a reader first. So do you agree with that statement? And have you always considered yourself a reader?
Yes, I do agree with that statement. But then also, I've never not been a reader. So I don't know what it would be like to write when I'm not a reader. So when I was a kid, because I grew up in Indonesia, and so we get a lot of Japanese manga that's translated, I read a lot of that. I remember growing up, we would always, sit at the dinner table and we would all be reading manga. And then my mom would be yelling at us, stop reading and eat our foods. So yeah, I've always been a reader. And I think when you read different kinds of books, so different genres, and then maybe for different age groups also, you get kind of a sense of what's out there. And then it helps you get a better sense of what other people's tastes are. And also sometimes I think a lot of times it inspires you to write, as well as whatever book that inspired you.
How do you feel reading all of that manga in your childhood has influenced the way that you create books now?
Oh, that one. So I started out with drawing when I was a kid. And so I would copy all the pictures in the different mangas. And so I would copy all the different styles. And then from there, I would naturally just start to develop my own style. And so I guess that occurred naturally. I wasn't like trying to create my own style or anything. It just happened organically, I would say. And so I've always really liked telling stories with pictures. So I think that clearly shows in my work that I have so far, because they all have lots of pictures in them.
All right. Well, when you sit down to create a book, to write it and to illustrate it, what does that look like?
So for me, usually the idea would come. Usually it comes as an image inside my head, maybe usually of the characters doing something. So for example, for Ghost Book, for a long time, I imagined this girl who can see ghosts, and then she makes friends with a boy ghost. And then I knew that he would sacrifice for her. But that's all I knew about about the book. And I just tried out a lot of different stories on them, trying to fit them into all different kinds of stories, but they didn't really fit until I found the hungry ghost angle. So, and then once I have that and I know the beginning of the story and then the ending, that's when I can actually piece all the middle parts together. And from there, then I start writing the story, and I only draw once I've finished revising the manuscript.
Oh, that's so interesting. So obviously, once you have the beginning and the ending, that you work more with your words first than the pictures. Is that correct?
Yeah, but that's only because from a laziness point of view, I suppose, because drawing a graphic novel takes up so much time. And I knew that there definitely would be like revisions to the story. And I didn't want to start out like drawing, spending months drawing a 100-page graphic novel and then realize, oh, I have to scrap this and have to start over. I would cry. Well, but along the way, when I'm writing my story, I would also be trying to imagine scenes. And then I would draw just doodle the characters doing different things. And then that helps me to move the story along when I'm writing.
Well, let's dig into Ghostbook. So when this book was pitched to me, it was compared to three of my all-time favorite movies, Spirited Away, Coco, and Ghosts. Like, I, hands down, those three are some of my top favorite movies. So it had really big shoes to fill. And I have to say that you filled those shoes so effortlessly. You had me crying and laughing all within the first few pages. So I think you absolutely nailed the story.
So I'm so glad I made you cry, first of all. That's what I wanted.
Well, since you've mentioned the hungry ghosts angle, would you like to describe that angle a little bit to our listeners?
Yeah, so the hungry ghosts are part of Chinese culture, where in the seventh month of the lunar calendar, supposedly the gates of the underworld open, and then all these hungry ghosts who have very insatiable appetites, and they would eat anything. Usually not humans. Usually they would eat the food offerings left out by people. And then there are many taboos that, superstitions around hungry ghosts. Like, for example, during the seventh month of the lunar calendar, you're not supposed to go swimming or because there'll be ghosts, hungry ghosts in the water trying to harm you and things like that. So I grew up in Singapore, where hungry ghosts is pretty big. It was bigger years back. I don't know about now, but I grew up with those folklores and myths. So it was just a natural fit into the story.
Yeah. And that also explains, I'm going to imagine, July's name.
Yes. So the seventh month of the lunar calendar. So July the seventh month.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. It's also the month of my birthday. So thank you. Well, so death and grief are actually a large part of this story. Do you have any thoughts you'd be willing to share about the importance of exploring these themes, death and grief, with kids through story?
So in Pie in the Sky, because you mentioned Pie in the Sky earlier, so the dad also passed away. I was very reluctant to put that in there because sometimes in kids' books, the parents are conveniently killed off so that the child characters can go on adventures. But I also know, because I lost my dad when I was in high school, so books that deal with grief are important to me, but I especially like those that deal with it in a more hopeful way, I would say. With dealing with grief in that, you know, how it will, you know, you will be fine. And it does get a little easier, I would say. You will still miss the ones that you lost, but you will be fine. So that, I think, is an important message, I think, for kid readers to see.
And now for our mid-show book spotlight. Jellybean Finds a Family is a heartwarming tale that takes readers on an unforgettable journey across continents, searching for the perfect family. As Jellybean travels from Europe to the United States, twists and turns are in store for him that will keep you on the edge of your seat till the very last moment. Horse enthusiasts in particular will fall in love with this book, which beautifully captures Jellybean's adventures and his undying spirit. One of the best parts about this book is that you can keep up with this charming horse and his family's unique experiences on their Instagram page at Mrs. G and Jelly, which will delight animal lovers of all ages. And for some extra exciting news, the upcoming second book in Jelly Bean's series is slated for release later this year. It promises to be even more exciting and touching, making it an absolute must-read for horse lovers everywhere. Be sure to check with your local independent bookstore for availability or order a copy of Jelly Bean Finds a Family on Amazon. You'll find the link in our show notes. Ghost Book is a graphic novel. So what does that look like? You've kind of said a little bit how you sit down and plot out the story mostly in words first. So once you have the words, what does the process look like to get that graphic novel to the finished end where it's the published book?
Yeah. So after I've done all the revisions with the words with my editor, then I go on to sketching out the whole book. So I would just loosely sketch out the whole book. I work on my iPad and Apple Pencil. And then I would send it off to my editor, and then he would give me his feedback. And then at this point, sometimes there would be changes, but usually minor changes, not because we've nailed down the story in the words in that stage. So that's why that part is really important. And then so once we're all happy with the sketches, then we go on to the inks. I just make the sketches a lot neater. And then once that's done, we send it over. I didn't do the coloring for Ghost Book. We have a fabulous colorist. Her name is Nina Gilliard, and she colored everything in Ghost Book. And so we would send all the final inks to Nina, and then she would color everything. And I think that's about it. That sounds really simple, but actually it took us, I think, just for me to do the drawings, I think it took us 8 months.
So. Yeah. As somebody who writes words and does not draw pictures unless I'm doodling for myself and not to show anybody else, I've always wondered about this whole colorist process, because I think a lot of us sit down with a graphic novel and assume that the illustrator also applied all of the color. For what reason is a colorist used in the creation of graphic novels?
For me, I think Nina, who is the colorist for Ghost Book, is fabulous, and I could not have done as good as a job as her. So so she brings out the story so well. So I'm so glad she's on board. So but there, I know there are other illustrators who also do the coloring. I did the coloring for my Surviving the Wild series, but I was confident in doing those colors, but I know that I couldn't do the colors for some of my books because I just don't have that skill.
Yeah. What's your favorite illustration in the book and why?
I think my favorite one would be the simplest one, which would be when July meets William for the first time. So it's just a double page spread of them looking at each other. That it would be my favorite one. It didn't take me too long to draw that one, but it would be my favorite one.
What makes it your favorite?
I don't know. I think it's just a very pivotal moment in their friendship when it's when they first meet. And then there's something special about that moment, even if they didn't really know exactly why at that point.
I have a favorite part, but I cannot share it because it would be a massive spoiler and I don't want to ruin your story for anyone. So I'm going to piggyback on your response since you mentioned July and William and it's the first time they meet. What would you like listeners to know about their friendship?
I think for her is really special because up until this point, nobody has ever really seen her. Like they always forget who she is, they forget her name, but he doesn't. He always remembers her and knows who she is. And so I I really like writing about that kind of friendship, that really special friendship. Because for me, I'm a type of person who has a small group of close friends. So the number of friendships you have, I feel, is not as important as the quality, I would say. So quality over quantity, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when readers get to the end, they've read Ghost Book, what impact do you hope that this book will have had on them?
First of all, I want them to cry like you did. I think I just want them to see that, like, maybe you don't have to be everything to everyone, I would say. Because, like, for example, for July, to her, what's important is her friendship with William, who is just one person, really. But that friendship is very important to her. So,
are you working on any new books? Like, what's coming up next for you?
Yes, we have a much more, a much scarier book that's coming out next year. We don't have the dates yet. It's called Read at Your Own Risk. Read at Your Own Risk.
Ooh.
So this one, this one is closer to Pie in the Sky and Fly on the Wall in terms of format. So it's prose with illustrations, not a graphic novel. And it's about a girl who gives a school assembly to go up to the attic of her school with some of her friends to play a game that is similar to a Ouija board so that they can communicate with spirits and things like that. And then she ended up unleashing some kind of evil spirit, and the spirit starts to communicate with her in her diary. So,
oh, it sounds so exciting.
We'll see. Yeah, this one is a much scarier than Ghost Book.
Do you know, it's really funny that you said it, you know, it's a game like the Ouija board, because when I was reading Ghost Book, and as I mentioned before, like it definitely filled the shoes of Spirited Away, Coco, and Ghost. But I was a kid who I guess was mostly raised during the 80s. And Ouija boards were a thing. Like they were a thing. I don't hear kids talking about Ouija boards these days. But when I was reading Ghost Book, it actually took me back to my childhood of Ouija boards. So I am really excited to check out this next book. So I'll be keeping my eye out for a date on that one. And I can't wait to see the cover, since you said it's a little scarier.
Yeah, it's a lot scarier. I think my editor said Ghost Book is 5 or 6 out of 10 on the scary factor. And then Read at Your Own Risk is like 10 out of 10.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I would agree with 5 to 6 out of 10 on Ghost Book, because, you know, it's not for the faint-hearted, but it's also not terrifying at all. And it's just, to me, Ghost Book was so beautiful. Well, Remy, before we go, is there anything else that you want to share with us about Ghost Book or yourself?
I'll share maybe something without giving away the ending. So when I wrote the ending for Ghost Book, when I sent it to my editor, he said, Remy, this is too tragic. We can't do this. And he really advised me to really rethink the ending. And so I really did rethink the ending. And I really like tragic endings. But he thought it was too tragic. So then we found a way to make it so that I still get to make people cry, but it's also an ending that my editor says, okay, this one we can do. So,
yeah, and it goes back to what you said before about offering a level of hope. And I feel like that comes across in the ending so beautifully. I mean, I definitely thought, well, no, I'm not going to even say what I'm going to say, because I don't want to give away the ending. But I wish I could say what I was going to say. I said you had me crying and laughing at the beginning, but you definitely had me crying at the end too. It was amazing.
Yay!
Well, Remy Lai, this has been so much fun. Ghost Book is not only spooky, but also so full of heart. And I imagine kids taking it on a camping trip and reading this next to the campfire, or staying up late, reading it with a flashlight under the covers, And I'm sure it will also be wildly popular for the spooky season of Halloween too. So any human who enjoys a book that makes them feel is destined to love this book. I truly, truly believe it. So I just want to thank you for coming onto the show today to share all of this incredible graphic novel insight and ghost book insight. And I appreciate your writing so much. You are one of my favorites. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been so fun chatting with you.
Thank you so much for joining us on this quest for growing readers. Be sure to check out our show notes. You'll find links to order a copy of Remy Lai's Ghost Book. You can learn more about Remy Lai at remylai.com. If you like this show, remember, you can hear it on Apple Podcasts, Chromecast, Spotify, or anywhere else you enjoy listening. Subscribe to the show to get new episodes as soon as they launch. If you're enjoying our book chats, please leave us a review. And while you're at it, tell a friend to come and have a listen. The Growing Readers Podcast is a production of the Children's Book Review. To find more books just like Ghost Book, I hope you'll visit us at thechildrensbookreview.com.